Well, good morning this happy morning. It's great to see you here. There's still a few people at the back, so if the rest of you could scrunch together so we can fit them in. We are looking forward to this time of worship together, this special Sunday, and we look forward to our times together later today for our Christmas Eve services. I just realized I popped up here out of habit. Okay, if I go ahead and do the announcements, sorry. We're having services this afternoon at 3 o'clock and at 7:30 in the evening. There really is marvelous music at both services. Our music staff, our new directors, are all singing solos and then along with. With Cheryl Farachi are singing a quartet, and then in the evening our choirs, our singing choirs, are sharing with us, as well as a small orchestra, and amidst all of that as well, the lighting of the candles, the remembering of Christ's presence with us throughout time and throughout all future. And so we invite you to come and be a part of that worship together. Also, for announcements, we would mention that the office is going to be closed at noon on Thursday through Friday, not for a vacation, but for inventory and a fearless cleaning, and nobody check the dumpsters when we're done. Okay. Any other announcements? Yes, our special offering, you'll see there's the Christmas offering envelope. If you would like to contribute to that, we have our special offering each year, and this year that money is going to go to Children and Family Urban Movement, which is at Trinity United Methodist Church. We thank God for these opportunities for fellowship and for service. Let us now prepare ourselves for worship with a time of centering.
Good morning. Let us stand and join together in our call to worship. I will sing of your steadfast love, O Lord, forever. With my mouth, I will proclaim your faithfulness to all generations. I declare that your steadfast love is established forever. Your faithfulness is as firm as the heavens.
There's a song in the air. There's a song in the sky. There's a mother's deep prayer.
I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to my servant David, I will establish your descendants forever and build your throne for all generations.
In the light of that star lie the ages in earth, and that song from afar has swept over the world. Every heart is aflame, and the beautiful sing in the halls of the peace. Jesus is King.
And so we gather here today to herald the presence of God, as evidenced in people and all of all generations, in the light and in the Christ child.
The ancient Hebrew writers spoke of God's covenant to build the people a house. God's house, God's reign, is built in us from generation to generation. And so this day we praise God for the Holy Incarnate in all generations of our community. We will sing the first three verses, verses 1, 2, and 3 of our opening hymn.
Thank you.
You may be seated. We light the first candle to make us mindful of God's presence in the people around us. Our second candle represents God's presence around us in a renewed world. The third candle is a sign of God's blessing among the lowly. And now we present the fourth candle to remind us that we worship in a house built up by generations of faithful people, that God's love endures through the faithful witness of each generation. This is a poem by Jan Richardson called A Blessing Called Sanctuary. You hardly knew how hungry you were to be gathered in, to receive the welcome that invited you to enter entirely. Nothing of you found foreign or strange. Nothing of your life that you were asked to leave behind or to carry in silence or in shame. Tentative steps became settling in, leaning into the blessing that enfolded you, taking your place in the circle that stunned you with its unimagined grace. You began to breathe again, to move without fear, to speak with abandon. The words you carried in your bones that echoed in your being. You learned to sing. But the deal with this blessing is that it will not leave you alone, will not let you linger in safety, in status. The time will come when this blessing will ask you to leave, not because it has tired of you, but because it desires for you to become the sanctuary that you have found, to speak your word into the world, to tell of what you have heard with your own ears, seen with your own eyes, known in your own heart, that you are beloved, precious child of God, beautiful to behold, and you are welcome, and more than welcome here. Let us pray. O divine presence, make us aware of every bit of hope and holiness around us. Amen.
Amen. I'd invite the children to come forward for our children's moments, and then as they come forward, we'll sing together. First children's sermon to my grandson. Well, I brought along something today. Have you ever seen something like this? Yeah? Do you know what it's called? It's kind of hard to say. Yeah, it's called a megaphone or a bullhorn. And I know it's a little late this year for you to ask your parent for a bullhorn for Christmas. But I thought I'd plant the seed in your mind for next year, because it would just be so wonderful, and your parents would love it. No, they wouldn't. If you had a bullhorn, because you could be in bed, you know, laying there in bed, and you wouldn't have to yell at them. All you'd have to do is say, "Attention, mother. Attention, father. I'm thirsty. Please bring me a drink of water." You think that would go over? Well, maybe. It'd be real handy for us here at the church, too, because I could say, "Attention, balcony, please wake that guy up." Yeah, it makes a loud noise. I started to wonder, wouldn't it have been strange if God had just gotten the heavenly bullhorn out at Christmas time and said, "Attention, people of earth, I love you very much. That is all." That wouldn't mean very much to us, would it? God knew that God didn't want to just tell us how much God loved us, but wanted to come into the world and show us as well. Because showing love is always much better than just telling someone love. That's one of the reasons why we give presents to one another is because we want to show each other that we love one another. I'm so glad that God didn't simply say, cry out from heaven that God loved us, but that God came personally in the flesh to show us how much God loves us. I want to give you an opportunity to experience that as well in showing love, because Pastor Dave has some candy canes here. And he's going to give you two candy canes, and one of them is for you to keep, and one of them is for you to take out into the congregation out here as you go back and give a candy cane to someone. And no, I don't have enough for everybody. But that way you can remember that God's love comes to us in order that we can give God's love to others as well. We're going to pray first, and then we'll give you a chance to do that. So let's pray. God, we thank you so much that you came personally to show us as well as tell us how much you love us. Amen. All right, go ahead and find somebody out there. You could be in the front, it could be at the back, to give that to.
Now a word from Psalm 94. O God, how long shall the wicked, how long shall the wicked exult? They pour out their arrogant words, all the evildoers boast. They crush your people, O God, and afflict your heritage. They kill the widow and the stranger, they murder the orphan, and they say, God does not see, the God of Jacob does not perceive. Understand, O dullest of the people, fools, when will you be wise? He who planted the ear, does he not hear? He who formed the eye, does he not see? He who disciplines the nations, he who teaches knowledge to humankind, does he not chastise? Our God knows our thoughts, that they are but an empty breath. Happy to those whom you discipline, O Lord, whom you teach out of your law, giving them respite from the days of trouble, until a pit is dug for the wicked. For our God will not forsake the people. He will not abandon his heritage. For justice will return to the righteous, and all the upright in heart shall follow it. Who rises for me against the wicked? Who stands up for me against evildoers? If God had not been my help, my soul would soon have lifted in the land of silence. When I thought, my foot is slipping, your steadfast love, O God, held me up. When the cares of my heart are many, your consolations cheer my soul.
Reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, I would add this note that there are some scholars who believe that the depiction of Gabriel in the scriptures is a female, rather than oftentimes we think of the angels being male that came. But it started to make me wonder, maybe we should be saying the angel's name is Gabriel. I'm not going to do it because we don't recognize that, but it may have been a female portrayal of the angel. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to be a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor, David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month for her, who was said to be barren. For nothing is impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And then the angel departed from her. Reading in the Gospel of Luke about Mary, we get a different picture of her than we might usually think about. Mary was bold. She was bold because she would go on her own to visit Elizabeth in the Judean hills. Now, the Bible doesn't say how far she traveled, but she would have traveled outside the town of Nazareth and been on a road or a path somewhere. And it was dangerous for anyone, man or woman, to be on the road by themselves. There were wild animals in the wilderness that might attack someone. There were thieves along the way, and a woman would have been perceived as an easy target. There were Roman soldiers that could go by and attack the woman as well, because unfortunately in that time, as well as in our day today in some places, an attack on a woman is perceived as a way of domination and showing power, not only just over the woman, but over the people. We can do whatever we want. So it was dangerous for her to go visit Elizabeth, and she seems to have done it on her own. Now, there's some picture of Mary, isn't it? Not the Mary meek and mild, but Mary with the audacity and willingness to be unconventional for God's purposes. It's time for we who are Protestants to bring Mary up out of obscurity and pay attention to her and not see her as being insignificant, but she's very significant in the scriptures. And it's time for some Christians to bring Mary down from a high pedestal of purity, focusing on the detail that she was a virgin. Mary is worthy of recognition because she is the first God-bearer. But the question could be asked, what does that mean? Why does it matter that she was the first God-bearer? Well, there was a man in the 13th century known as Meister Eckhart. He was born in 1260 AD, and eventually he joined the Dominican order of the church. He became a teacher and a speaker and a writer. Some people thought he would push the edge of orthodoxy a bit too far, and he wasn't held in high regard by everyone of his time. He was kind of overlooked many times throughout the centuries after he was in this world. But in the 20th and 21st century, more and more Christians are discovering his writings and what he has to say to us today. This is what he said about Mary.
What good is it to me that Mary gave birth to the Son of God 1,400 years ago, and I do not also give birth to the Son of God in my lifetime and in my culture? We are all meant to be mothers of God. God is always needing to be born. Now, some Christians might think of that as being almost blasphemous, comparing ourselves to Mary. But I agree with him wholeheartedly. God is always needing to be born into the world, made flesh. And we are all meant to be mothers of God. Recently, the Reverend Lee Schott, who's the pastor of Women at the Well United Methodist Church in the prison, women's prison in Mitchellville, Reverend Schott wrote this on her Facebook page. Held our annual Christmas open house yesterday at the sacred place, which means the chapel, at the prison. A dozen volunteers, nearly 200 guests. Now, who's she talking about when she says guests? Huh? She's talking about the women who are incarcerated there. But isn't that so much better to refer to them as guests at this party? Because that's what they are. Well, a dozen volunteers, nearly 200 guests, the debut of two original skits written by three of our leaders, and 210 holiday cards that will go to every staff member there. Picture this. The guests at the party didn't simply buy a card from a store and sign their name to it. They had to make these cards. Nothing would come in like that into the prison. They made 210 cards and gave them to those who were watching over them and to the administration and others working at the prison. And there were several staff members at the party, including the warden, who stopped by to add their greetings, and dozens of Christmas carols. New this year, and adding to the joy, 30 dozen cookies plus hot cocoa, loved by all. Now, that's not usually allowed at the prison. Who knows how long it had been since many of these women had tasted Christmas cookies that would have reminded them of home, perhaps. And hot cocoa, how good that must have tasted. At the end of the afternoon, we had enough cookies to supply the orientation unit, which was buzzing with excitement when we dropped them off. Christmas comes inside the prison, too. And God was born again into the world, into a prison. God was made flesh. Every day, on average, about 400 immigrants are deported from the United States. Every day, on average, 400. Many Americans aren't aware that crossing the border into the United States without documentation is not a crime. Did you know that? It is not a crime. It's a civil violation. And someone who commits a civil violation is not a criminal. It is inaccurate to call them all criminals. All 15 million of undocumented people residing in the United States are not criminals. Some of them may be, but it's a small number. Well, some undocumented people have been checking in with the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Service, ICE, for many years, some as long as 6 or 7 years. They're trying to work within the system. And so they go to the ICE office and check in twice a year to make sure that they have their address, to make sure they know what's going on in their life. And for a number of years, they did that without any fear, but that's changed now, hasn't it? There are immigrants who will go to the federal building right here in Des Moines, and they go on up to the ICE offices. And when they come back down to leave, they don't know
if ICE agents might be waiting there for them, as other people have experienced. To be whisked off to jail, though the government likes to call it detention, because they're not criminals. And not a word to the family. No one knows where they are. Sometimes not even ICE seems to know where they are. How scary, how frightening that must be to go down there and try to work within the system. Well, there was an immigrant who did that right here in Des Moines this past week. This person went down to the federal building and went up, but the person didn't go by themselves. There was a group of Christians and others who joined with them. Now, they couldn't, of course, go up into the ICE office together, but they waited outside so that when the person came back down, they would surround them with their very bodies to say, in effect, God is standing with you, and we are standing with you, and you are a beloved, beautiful child of God. Now, if ICE wanted to, they could still arrest that person. There's nothing anyone could do, but maybe it's a little less likely. Maybe there's a little more compassion, seeing how many people care for someone who is trying to work within the system. And God was born into the world right outside the federal building this week. And then, as you know, the hurricane season brought enormous damage to the United States. And you're probably aware that Puerto Rico is part of the United States, and its citizens of that commonwealth are just as much citizens as any one of us here. There's an estimated 3,000 Christian churches that were damaged or destroyed in that last hurricane. 3,000. In fact, there is a leading Christian down in Puerto Rico that's very famous down there, who said she didn't know of one Christian church that wasn't damaged or destroyed in the hurricane. And even starting right now, I understand from a report I received from someone that even now down in Florida, there are teams, and they were struck by the hurricane too, you know, but there are teams going to Puerto Rico to assist in the rebuilding and the new construction of churches and helping people at their homes. And someone might say, well, you know, it would be much more effective if they would just take the money that they're spending on airfare to go to just give them the money down there. That's all they need. And they could rebuild themselves. But I would strongly disagree. Because one of the things that people need the most after a disaster, and especially, I think, in Puerto Rico, is to know that others in the United States have not forgotten about them, that we are standing with them, that we consider them to be brothers and sisters in Christ. And so when teams go down there, they are literally shoulder to shoulder with the people and express bodily that Christ is born into the world again. And so we are all called to do in some way close by, or in some way around the world as well. I'm so glad that at Christmas time, God didn't simply send cash into the world for us. God sent a person, the person of Jesus. God desires for all of us to be like Mary. God wants us to be bold, even to be impertinent, if it calls for that. God wants us all to be mothers of God in the world, in our day, like Mary did. So God calls each one of us today to go and do likewise.
Amen.
It is you who have come to us. You came to us in the person of the Christ child, vulnerable, small, in a place often forgotten by the world. And you were there. Please be in our hearts as well, no matter how barren we feel. No matter how disturbed and frustrated we are, you're with us. Please be with us and allow us to be with others. Draw us then into the presence of those who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness and for water. Help us to be God-bearers, to bear your witness and your loving presence, your strength, in this world. Let us sit with those who are grieving. Let us stand with those who stand for righteousness. Let us walk with those who are on a journey. Let us be with them even when their journey wanders. Let us not give up as you have not given up on us. Please be in our hearts. Let us be God bearers. O God, we raise our prayers to you. Calm our fears and help us know your presence. Let your presence be with our church as well. Let your presence be visible in what we do and what we say. Let us be a presence in this neighborhood and the communities all around. Let us be present in the gifts that we share with others, even around the world. Let your hope be born in us, but let us as well see how it has been born in others. Help us when we have been blind to your presence in those around us. Help us when we have forgotten others who are in need, when we have forgotten others who have great strengths and great gifts. Help us then, not to be born out of guilt or fear, but then to be excited and to say, what a marvelous God this is, who has touched our lives, who has touched our world, who has brought children into our presence. We raise our prayers to you. Calm our fears and help us to know
your presence.
And so be with those around the world, those who are sick, those who are in our hearts and minds today. And please be a healing power within them. Please be with those who are hungry. And let us be bearers of food and water and nurture and guidance and strength wherever needed, so that we may bear those same gifts that you have brought to us. As we do so, let us pray together the words that Jesus shared with us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Do not be afraid, I am.
And now we'd invite you to join together, to gather your gifts and to share your tithes as a part of this morning worship. As I mentioned earlier, the special Christmas envelopes are for our offering that we're giving to Children and Family Urban Ministries, which has provided a presence of ministry in the North Bend neighborhood for many, many years. Trinity Parish was built right at the beginning of the last turn of the century, and since the 1960s has been a part of offering breakfast every morning to the school children across the street and people in the neighborhood, and then offering supper in the evenings to anyone who comes. They have their other programs of presence and nurture for their after-school programs and their English as a second language and many, many other important ministries. Come, let us gather all these gifts together in all the ways that we have been blessed. Let us be a blessing to others. Thank you. have come to us. Now we offer these blessings, overflowing, back to you. Let them be a blessing to many others, transformed, and becoming then a sign of your presence with us. Amen.
God needs to be born into the world anew each day. This past Tuesday and most Tuesdays, there's a meal downstairs served, a free meal along with the clinic. And God is being born there to people through the God bearers. The choir, some members of the choir came down last week to sing to people who don't get to hear live Christmas music too often. And they were God bearers. Over and over again, open our eyes to see how God is being born into the world. And go to be bold. And go to be impertinent. And go to be a God bearer wherever you go. Amen.